good afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
The Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
What a great intro. So yeah, that was really cool. But welcome to the Bald Monkeys podcast. Captain Chuckles was great, and he was able to put together that really cool intro. So we have a new intro now. Thanks, Captain Chuckles, and welcome to the podcast, Captain Chuckles.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm Christopher, and once again, we don't have the boss, Steven. He's on hiatus, and we don't have Big Baby Jimmy, but we found somebody who was willing to get up in the afternoon and hang out with us for a little while. So here's Shazza McKenzie. Shazza, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Shazza.
You made me sound like such a bum. Got up in the afternoon. I've been awake for hours.
I don't know these things.
I know I look, I mean, I am in my pajamas because I got up and I did my things for the day and now I'm done for the day.
Don't worry. Here, I'm in my pajamas all day long because I can work from home, so I don't do anything. I wake up,
love it.
I'm in my pajamas, I work, I'm in my pajamas, I go to bed, I'm still in my pajamas.
Love it. Live for it. That's my life, except there's a few hours where I get out of my pajamas, but then I just get back into them.
As long as this half is dressed, you're good. Like, you're good to go.
I mean, I'm just wearing a jumper over my, warm-up pajamas.
Couldn't even tell.
Keeping it classy.
So Shazza, again, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. So we wanted to just kind of, roll through kind of a little bit of background and who you are and get the people to kind of understand who you are and what you're all about. So give us a little idea of what young Shazza McKenzie was all about and what life was like.
My life was, I guess, pretty normal and boring. I don't know. I had a very normal upbringing and everything. I didn't like wrestling as a child. I wanted to be I thought I was going to be like a singer, like a pop star. And I used to do they were called a Steadfords. I don't know what the equivalent, it's kind of a talent show, but I used to get out of school because I had to go do these Steadfords and win awards and stuff. And I used to sing and dance. And I was like, I'm going to be famous one day. And that was my childhood. And then I got to high school and then I was like, I'm too cool for all of that. And then I just left everything. I was like, I'm done. I'm so cool now. And I quit all of my extracurricular activities. And then I was like, I'm badass. And then I was super cool. And ditching school and being really cool. And, thinking hooky. I was really cool. Yeah. Hooky. That's an American word. Love it. So I went through this phase where I was probably not the best teenager to my parents. And then one day I was dating a guy who was much older than me because I was so cool. And he had a car and I was cool. And he wanted to watch wrestling. And I was like, I don't want to watch wrestling. That's weird. I'm not about that. And then he was like, no, we have to watch wrestling. And I was like, no, we don't. He was like, no, we have to watch wrestling. And I was like, fine. It was Raw after Mania, which now I understand.
Yeah.
At the time, did not understand.
That's a good place to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So then he put on Raw and when I was over at his house and Trish Stratus came out and she just turned on Chris Jericho and she was just a badass and she was hot and she was like, I'm freaking blah, blah, blah. I mean, I watch back the segment now and I'm like, they were really highly offensive towards her and I don't know why that connected with me. as a 15-year-old, I was like, yes, they're chanting slut at her. That's what I want. But for some reason.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 15-year-old me was like, this is it. This is my thing. And then I just literally probably within a week or two, I just stopped going out and I was just like, I'm going to be a wrestler. And I just literally, this happened in April 2004. And then I dropped out of school by the end of the year because I was like, I'm going to be a wrestler. Oh, I was man. Just, sorry. I just went I was like, this is what I was just living life, kind of normal, kind of weird, but you know. And then I was just like, wrestling, this is it.
That's
and
awesome.
It was it. It just, it consumed my life instantly.
So you mentioned Trish Stratus. That's really cool. Yeah. Like so that's it. That's the life. That's the story.
That's my life.
So thanks for joining. No.
We'll see you next week.
So Trish Stratus was obviously a big inspiration. What other wrestlers really became a big inspiration for you that got you motivated to be more interested in wrestling since you never were interested before then?
I remember being like, I loved Chris Benoit, and I just went down this I loved all the Canadian wrestlers. That was a weird thing. I was like Christian and Chris Jericho. I was like all about that. Like Edge had just come back. I was like all about, like, I was just like Canadians for some reason.
Yeah.
That was my jam. Like, yeah. I don't know why.
I love Canada.
I've never been to Canada, but like the Canadians at the time, I was just like, this is it. But then I had like also my other like just weird like fandom, like you would just wouldn't understand. Like, well, you would understand. But okay, so like I love Maven and I love Dawn Marie. Like they're my two like
okay
at the top. And I don't know what it is about those two, but like they just connect. Like that was just it. Like Maven was getting like his weird little push where he was like, was it like Survivor Series and then got to be GM for a week and stuff. Like there was like all that sort of stuff happening, and then he turned heel and then he cut that like Spanish promo on someone at like, I don't know. There's like things happened. And for some reason, like, and then I think I also went down this like spiral of like, once I decided I liked wrestling, I would go to my like local video store, and because I'm in Australia, wrestling very not cool here, very very underground. But they I would just rent like the maybe 5 or 6 DVDs that for some reason my local video store had, and I would just rent them over and over and over again because I don't know what 15-year-olds do. And one of the DVDs was an ECW DVD, yeah, and then oh, so then I went down like a pirate. Like I think in total there was 3 ECW shows that were ever released on DVD in Australia. For some reason, my local video store was like, "This is what we've got to have." And then I just went on this downward spiral of like just I don't know. I was just obsessed with wrestling. I watched everything, and it was just it was my life. I was on every internet forum. I was like, I just didn't leave my house. I was just like, no, wrestling, this is it. This is my life.
That's awesome.
So funny story. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Christopher over here actually met Maven and has a picture with him. Stacy Keebler and
Randy Orton. Yep.
That's a good group. That's a good group of people.
Definitely.
It was a very random. Yeah. It was basically, yeah. I was working at a bar as a bar back, and they were in town in Savannah, Georgia. And I just saw them on the street, and I went, yeah, I'm going to be the guy who runs out.
You're going to be that guy.
I'm going to run out into the street and take a picture with them. And I got that picture. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, you got the picture, sir. So, who's laughing now?
Yeah, probably Maven, Randy Orton, and yes. Keebler at the crazy guy running after them down the street.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's so cool. I'm so jealous.
I was jealous when he sent it to us. I was like, how does this even happen? I was so annoyed. But it is what it is. You know, Chris always does the cool stuff. And we're just in the background trying to figure out what we're going to do next.
This is cool. That's right cool. Here. Look, we're doing the cool stuff
That's
right
true.
Now.
That's true. That's true. So,
ain't cool.
15 years old, you're getting into wrestling in Australia. You start out doing some, you know, local stuff out there. How long did you wrestle in Australia till you kind of decided till you decided to come to the U.S. and try to do stuff over here, and kind of what brought you to the US too?
Cool. So basically once I decided I liked wrestling, and I dropped out of high school when I was 16, I dropped out of high school and I was like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to save up all this money. And then I'm going to go. And my plan was to go train at Landstorm's school. Cause that was it for me. Like I was like, he has touched Dawn Marie. And therefore if I touch him, I will have touched Dawn Marie and my life will be complete.
Ipso facto.
That's the math.
Yep.
But anyway, then I was 16 and got a job and had money for the first time in my life, and I just spent it. So I didn't do that because I'm irresponsible. instead, when I was 19, because my parents like didn't want me to do wrestling, so they wouldn't drive me to wrestling, and for some reason I was just, well, because I never left my house because I just watched wrestling all the time. I barely drove it. I didn't have to drive anywhere, so I never bothered to get my license until like when I was 19, and they were like, we're not going to drive you to wrestling school. And I was like, but I need to get to wrestling school. So then I finally got my license, and I literally got my license the week before I started wrestling school.
Oh, wow.
Because wrestling training, like all the schools in like Sydney, which is where I live, are all at least an hour from where I live. Like, areas of Sydney that I had at that point in time never gone to in my life, because I guess I lived a very sheltered life. I don't know. I went and I started training when I was 19, and that was in 2007. And then the place that I was training, AWF, had their training done in sort of courses. So like you did like 3 months as like a beginners, and then 3 months like intermediate, and 3 months like advanced. And then if you did all those, then you were a wrestler, I guess. You were something. You got a certificate. I have a certificate.
Do you still have this? Do you still have the certificate?
Oh yeah, it's on my wall.
That's awesome.
In my bedroom. Yeah. It's my husband has his university degree, mm-hmm. and then I have my
wrestling.
I love it. Love it.
Because that's my life. So I started wrestling in 2008, and it was about a year I trained. And then I think I first started trying to figure out, like, because when you're in Australia, like we have lots of wrestling. Well, we don't have lots of wrestling. We don't have that much wrestling in Australia, but there's wrestling in Australia, and we do all right. We're pretty, like, I don't know, if you ever watch our stuff, we're kind of okay. Like, but the problem is nobody watches our stuff because we're in Australia. And especially back then when video on demand stuff and like getting content out there was so much harder than it is now. Yeah. Now there's so many different platforms mm-hmm. where you can just be like we live stream and stuff now, and which is crazy because we're on the other side of the world, so people can actually watch our stuff live and react to it live. So like no one really knew wrestling existed in Australia except for kind of Madison Eagles had started going overseas. I think she first went to America in 2009. No, she must have been 2008. She first went because she'd already been when I met her. And so she'd gone overseas and taken Jessie McKay, who is now Billy Kay in WWE. And they did Shimmer for the first time. I think they did it in 2008. And then for like the next couple of years, it was kind of like this thing, like with the Aussie girls, we would not me at the time, but it was kind of Jess, Skater, Kelly Skater, and Madison would kind of regularly go over for Shimmer every couple of months. And then I guess I kind of got to a point where I'd been wrestling for, well, I know I definitely got to a point where I'd been wrestling for four years, yeah, because it was 2012 when I first, and I was like, I don't know, there's only so many times I can wrestle the same three people every week. Like there's not like in the entire country back then, there was maybe 10 females, and like intergender wrestling was not a thing. Like it's like, and now there's maybe 20 females. Like we haven't, like it's not like it's grown drastically, but like it has
doubled
in a way.
That's doubled.
Not bad.
Yeah. But like that's also like these days girls can get quicker, get better so much quicker because now there's intergender wrestling. So now they're not limited to the same circle of girls that I was limited to for the first like 4 years. And I was just like, I just needed something else. I needed to be creatively stimulated and I needed to be challenged and pushed. And I was just never going to get where I wanted to be if I just hung out in my home country. So I had like a midlife, well, I had like a quarter life crisis when I was like 23, and I quit my job and I like moved back in with my parents so that I didn't have any income. Like I didn't have any expenses. And by moved, I mean, I just put all my crap in their house and went, bye. And then I went to America. So I went to America for 2 months the first time in 2012, and I'd sort of organized that trip around at the end of it there was like Shimmer weekend, and then the week after that was WrestleMania, so it was like, you know, like train for a couple of weeks and then hopefully I'll be good enough to wrestle at Shimmer and then they'll let me wrestle and then I'll go to WrestleMania and it'll be fun. So that was like the first thing. I like rented an apartment in Philadelphia and I trained at the Shikara Wrestle Factory for the first time. And then I just kind of kept going back and kept being like, hey, Krazak, can I come to Shimmer again? And then eventually he started asking me and I was like, whoa, I'm important now. But yeah. That's kind of how it all started. That was a very long-winded answer, but you know, you got the point.
Don't worry at all. So, I think one of your first matches was in Shine, and you were in a tag team match with someone who had a different name at the time, and people may now know her as Bailey. Is that correct?
Yes, they might. Yeah, so that was my second trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
which same year.
what kind of memories do you have from like those first couple of matches that you had here in the States, and how different of a environment was it here than when you were wrestling in Australia?
I think so when it comes to like teaming with Bailey, that was that sort of came from the first Shimmer trip we did. You just get put in rooms with people you don't know, and I remember I was like in my room and I was like the first person in my room there and I was watching Friends, and then she opened the door and then she was like, oh my god, you're watching Friends, and I was like, oh my god, I'm watching Friends, and then we're just best friends. And that's how it like kind of happened. And so then we ended up planning our trip, we meshed together for our next trip, which was when we went to Florida together 6 months later. At the time, she was already signed, and at the end of that weekend, she told me that she was signed, but I had no idea the whole trip. We went to like an FCW show, and everyone was like shaking her hand. And then, like,
how do all these people
later,
know you?
Yeah, and then like 3 days later, she's like, oh yeah, I'm signed. Okay, no, she's cool. But yeah, the first it's very scary, especially back then, coming into like the Shimmer locker room. Like at the time, like Sarah Del Rey was still there, like freaking Mischief was still there, like Melissa and Mercedes, like they're there now as well, but like it was like the women that I looked up to when I first started watching independent wrestling were still all around. And I was just this scared little girl walking in being like, well, crap, what do I do? And just trying to fit in and trying not to get in trouble for existing. I don't know. Like, cause you think that you're just like, oh my God, just don't yell at me. I don't know what I've done wrong. Oh God. But like, you know, like my first weekend there, I wrestled Saraya Knight, and that was the most like amazing and horrifying combined situation in my life. Cause like, I remember standing in the ring and I'd come out first, and then her music hit, and there was just this like resignating, like just like fear for me, or like just they were, and the crowd just all collectively went, oh, like as in, oh, you're about to die. Like they just realized as soon as her music hit, they were like, oh no, like because I was just there like, and then they were like, music hit, and just yeah, that's something I'll like never forget, that like feeling in that moment of being in the ring then and that happening. But yeah, and like I don't know when like the trend, like at some point, like over the last 8 years now that I've been traveling to America, at some point I ended up being like one of the longer tenured women in like the Shimmer locker room, which is such a weird, like the Aussies call me their mum now because like Madison doesn't come as often as she used to. So I have to like wrangle all the Aussie girls around and make sure that they're all doing what they have to do and being where they have to be and like at hotels where they have to be and on planes that they need to be on. And like, I don't know when this transition happened, but at some point I took over this motherly role of the Australians and became the responsible one, which is horrifying. But it happened. Well, and yeah, so like, it's changed.
So when you came in, you had that fear, right? So now it's like you get to be on the other side of it.
Yeah, now people are scared. No, I don't think they're scared. I don't think anyone's scared.
No one's scared?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I would beg to differ. I mean, so for anybody that's listening or watching this that, you know, hasn't done any research or watched any of your matches, I'm just going to give just a glimpse of some of the people that you have been in the ring with that maybe people see now here in the States, you know, on a regular basis. So we already named Bailey. We have Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, Leva Bates, Nyla Rose, Marty Bell, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi Blackheart, Kairi Sane, Chris Statlander, Emma, Santana Garrett, Thunder Rosa, Tessa Blanchard. I mean, that is a list that a lot of people here know a lot of those names, and you're linked with every single one of those female wrestlers. I mean, that is quite a good list.
Yeah, I'm very happy with everything that I've managed to do, and like I'm so happy that I went to America and I didn't get like stuck in my little bubble, because you know you can get comfortable and you can be like everything's fine here, you know, like I'm the big fish in the small pond or whatever, but I'd rather be the small fish in the big pond and have to learn to swim and eat and fight for my own food and get to the top again.
See, and I was gonna say
that was a weird analogy. I don't know what
it works
to the top.
It works. Yeah. See, what I was gonna say was, people listening to this, she is a big deal. Like, Shazza is a big deal, and people need to recognize that. And like, hopefully, and we'll ask this later on, but hopefully there are some, after this whole COVID-19 stuff, there'll be some good things happening, you know, hopefully the end of this year or next year.
Hopefully.
Definitely. So, We named a couple of names. We won't name names the whole podcast, but
I'm done.
But how does your opportunity with the you know WWE come? How does your opportunity with AEW come? So you're in the States, you're going back and forth, you're traveling, and you start getting these opportunities. How do they all come about? Who's the first contact? What is your reaction to that? Just give us a little bit of a walkthrough of how you got through the communication of all those things.
Yeah. So the first time I did NXT is like one of my favorite stories ever. So when Tennille first got signed back in 2011, I think it was about 2011 she got signed. Before she went and got signed, she came back to Australia for a couple of months, and I wrestled her in her last non-WWE match. Like, she, I don't know, like pass the torch to me or whatever the thing is.
Her graduation.
It was like a moment. And that was before she went to WWE. And then what happened for the first time that I did the NXT stuff is basically I was in Florida at Lexi Fife's house, and there was a bunch of us staying there. And we'd planned to go to NXT that day because it was also the first time I'd been to America since Peyton and Billy had been signed. So like, it was like the first time I would have been able to see them wrestle in an NXT ring, which was like, I've known them since the day that I started, like the day one. So like, that was very, like, it was very important that I went and saw that. And the day before, we were planning to go to Halloween Horror Nights the night before, and then we were going to go to the show the next day. Easy, regular day, just chilling, whatever. life's happening. I'm just hanging out in my room. And then Madison comes in and she says, Lexi needs to talk to you. And I go, what the fuck have I done? My assumption is that I've sworn profusely in front of her very young daughter, which is something I did very common, but I was like, maybe I've said something like really horrible. And then Emily's gone and like said it a bunch. So that's what I thought was happening. I was like, okay. She's like, no, you have to go talk to her now. I was like, okay. And then so like I walked in the room and she was, and this is like an hour before we were about to leave for Halloween Horror Nights. And she's like, WWE called, they want you there tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I was like, what do you mean, cuz? What do you mean? She's like, don't worry, just what do you have to wear? And I was like, nothing. Like, I'm planned to go visit WWE in like a formal capacity in any, like, and so like at some I realized I had some like black dress that I'd packed, and then like we had some shoes, and then she had all this jewelry and she like put a bunch of jewelry on me, and we like we're like, okay, there's an outfit. And so then it was me, Evie, who's now Dakota Kai, and Kaylee Ray, and that they wanted from who was staying at Lexi's, because I think like the girls had just told like the office, they were like, there's a bunch of girls like at Lexi's house, why don't we use some of them for extras instead of other people. And then what had happened was Tennille had heard that I was there, and she was like, well, I want to wrestle Shaz, because she was my last match before WWE, and then and she was like, this will be a good like story about how, like, because she was just starting the Evil Emma gimmick, and it was like how mm-hmm. she's a different Emma now, and like how she's like changed, and she's blah blah blah. So very thankful that Tennille did that for me, forever grateful for her and her giving me that opportunity, because I don't know who they would have chosen otherwise. Who knows? But yeah, so like the debut, and then they were like, okay, well now we're going to go to Halloween Horror Nights, and then we were just out till 3 a.m. And then I got home at 3 a.m. and I was like, well, I guess I have to tan. I go, well, I don't know. And then like we had to leave at like 10 a.m. because we were in Tampa. We weren't in Orlando. Oh, so we had to, like, yeah.
That's a little bit of a drive.
Yeah, it was a lot. So yeah, and then I just showed up, and then I was like, I don't know why I'm here. And then they were like, hey, you're wrestling Emma. And I was like, cool. What am I doing? And then, yeah. And then it all just kind of happened, and then I don't really know. But that was like the first time that I was like, oh, like I could be a wrestler on TV. Like the idea of ever getting signed just was never even in my vicinity before that. Because especially like if you go back to 2015, this is before they started hiring independent wrestlers, like females. This was back when they were still hiring models and turning them into wrestlers. So it just wasn't even like a concept in my mind that I would ever be anywhere near that level. So, but like, then I had that like taste of being on TV, and then like, I don't know, I didn't look out of place, and I was like, wow, I don't look out of place. Like what? Oh, okay. Like maybe I could do this. And so then that kind of put in my head, and that was like October 2015, and that put in my head that I was like, okay, I'm going to try and get a tryout. I'm going to try and like actually do this. So then at the end of 2016, they came down to Australia and they held tryout in Australia. I had my tryout there. There was only four girls in it. It was me, Kellyanne, Indy Hartwell, who's now signed, and Rhea Ripley, who obviously very signed. That happened, and that was like just before, that was when they were scouting for the first Mae Young Classic. And then, yeah, things happened and life happened, and there was like bits and pieces and talks and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it kind of didn't go anywhere. And 2017 was a bit of, like, there was bits of ups and downs. And then in 2018, because I just kind of kept that like good contact with them. from that time, like from 2015 through to 2018. And that was when they started actually like hiring independent girls by that time. So I was like, oh, I like really actually have a chance. And then they invited me down to do the TV taping when I was in America for WrestleMania week and stuff in 2018. And then again, talks and talks about Mae Young Classic, maybe, maybe, maybe not, maybe whatever. But like, they have two blonde Australians, like they don't need me. It's cool. I get it. I'm not offended. Like, take the 22-year-olds. It's cool. And then at the end of 2018, I met Brandy and Cody because they came down to Australia for like a tour, and I wrestled Brandy. And that was before they'd even like announced AEW or anything like that. When it was already like rumors and everything like that because the internet. But that was when she like sort of confirmed to me that AEW was going to be a thing and that like we should stay in contact because at some point they were going to put together this battle royale at one of their shows and they were like, she would like me to essentially be part of it. And then so I just sort of kept in contact with them for the majority of last year, and maybe a month before the battle royale, they were like, oh no, we can't actually use you because something like, something legal, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's fine, whatever. Like, I mean, crushed, like deep depression, life over. But, you know, it is cool. What it is. But whatever. Yeah. And then 2 weeks before, I like woke up at like 4 a.m. to go to the gym as I normally do. And I just had a message from Brandy being like, hey, you still available on August 31st? And I was like, of course I am. Like, like of course. Like, everything's canceled. Whatever, I'm there. Yeah. Like, bye. So yeah, so that's how like the battle royale came about. I just went over and I did that, and then I just sort of stayed in contact, and I was over for Shimmer in November, and I got booked on Starcast and stuff, and then I was like, hey guys, like I'm still kind of, I'm around this week, I don't know if you've got like TV on like Wednesdays or something, I don't know if that's something you do. I don't know, I'm just asking. And then they were like, yeah, okay, cool, come like, yeah, come to TV and hear wrestle. And I was like, cool, like, I don't know, life is just, you just gotta shoot your shot and see where it goes and go with the flow.
Exactly, you gotta ride that coaster and just wherever mm-hmm. it goes, you just gotta
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask questions and ask for opportunities, because people aren't gonna just give them to you. Sometimes they do just give them to you, but like a lot of the time you just gotta go get it. You just gotta go, I see this, I want it. And now I got it. That's my philosophy in life. I shouldn't be allowed on podcasts.
Yeah. So the little blip that you're seeing in the podcast right now is me being in the wrong account, and now we're good to go. And we collected that entire story from Shazza, which was wonderful. And I'm going to go back and watch it and laugh at myself and enjoy your story. But I appreciate you going through that, the whole kind of how you got here and how NXT came up and how AEW came up. So it's like you keep having all these different promotions kind of, I want to say knocking at your door, but you're, like you said, you're kind of asking and knocking at their door.
Oh no,
too.
I'm knocking on doors.
What keeps you motivated? What keeps you pushing forward, and what keeps you kind of grinding to, you know, getting to that end goal, whatever that end goal might be?
I don't know. Like, it's like, I feel like I spent a lot of last year really, like I really, last year was when I quit my job and I like put my life savings and I like really went all freaking in on it. And like, I guess, like, and it was really hard because at the end, like, it's, even though I like, I was able to like build my career so much and I built all these followers and I wrestled all these places around the world. But it's not like at the end of it, you get given like a trophy and people go, well, good work. Like you did this.
You don't
like,
get that certificate again.
You don't get the certificate again. Like you just like, it ends. And then like, and I remember like coming back from my last overseas trip last year, which was the last time I did AEW, and I didn't have like my next trip or anything planned at the time. Like it was November, and I was kind of just like, I was like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing with my life? Like, and like, I'm 31. I'm not like the kids that are 21 and have like a decade ahead of them. Like, I know that I have probably less years in the future of my career than I have behind me in my career. Not to say I don't have years in the future, but I know that we're probably past the halfway mark. It's just really hard. And I don't know, I was just I got really down. Like, I got really like, I don't know what I was doing. And I just kind of have to like talk to people and be like, okay, well, what do I want? I was like, okay, well, like the plan was, I was like, okay, we're going to give this one big last shot. Like, that's what this past trip that, you know, Corona world killed, but like, whatever. But that was like, I was like, okay, we're just going to reinvent yourself. You're going to be something completely new and different and just really go balls to the wall and see what happens. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If what I've been doing has gotten me far, but it hasn't gotten me as far as I want to go, let's switch it up. Let's do something different. And I guess that was like, my motivation was like, let's just keep going and see what we can get out of this. Like, this was, for all purposes, I had intended that to be my last trip that of me going out on my own dime and investing in myself and putting my real life, like, you know, ruining my husband. Like, because while I go chase this dream, my husband doesn't get to buy a mortgage. He doesn't get to have children. He doesn't get to, like, live his life, and there's only so much selfishness I can have before it's time for me to go, okay, well, maybe this isn't like maybe this is fine to just wrestle in Australia and like live your life here and do it as a hobby, but maybe time to like slow down on chasing that high dream. And so I guess I was kind of just like, to my husband, I was like, okay, this is it, like, this is the last time I'm gonna do it, this is it, let's just do it, let's just go all out, let's just freaking go for it. And then the world ended, so
yep,
yay.
Yay, COVID-19, way to go. COVID-19 ruining lives all around the world.
All around the world.
So we've talked a lot about wrestling. What are some of the things that you like to do outside of the wrestling world? What have you been doing during COVID apocalypse? You know, what are your hobbies? I know you mentioned earlier that you did some singing, you did some dancing. I believe that there might be some TikTok videos out in the world, maybe?
Just a few, maybe.
Maybe.
I was on the TikTok train before the land of COVID. I was on TikTok back in November, and now everyone's on it. And when I got on it, everyone was like, this is stupid. Look at you dancing. You're making a fool of yourself. And I was like, no, guys, this is the future. And now I was right. They were wrong. I win. Mm-hmm. That's my victory dance.
TikTok ambassador.
Yes. This whole week I've been learning a new dance. It's probably really bad because I actually, like, I don't know, I guess I used to be able to dance as a child because, like, I got pretty far in dancing. Like, I did some pretty cool things in dancing, but it's just gone now. Like, there's no rhythm. And, like, I can't concentrate on two things at once. Like, whenever you watch, like, other girls do TikTok dances, they're, like, singing and they're like, yeah, we're doing it. Whereas I'm like, okay, what happens next? Okay. Like, I have to try and think about it too hard. But other than TikTok, I'm a very boring person. So my main interests in life, I worked in the fitness industry for the past like decade of my life, essentially. And so I really like the gym. I really like spreadsheets. That's a really weird thing that I really like. I mean, I'm not going to just go make a spreadsheet for no reason, but if I have a job that involves me using a spreadsheet, I will do some fun things with that spreadsheet.
Yeah. Pivot tables, yeah.
Pivot tables, yeah. I'll get all the data you want, yeah. So other than that, like, I don't know, like, at this time, I've just been working out, and, like, I have a Patreon, so I try to, like, produce content to, in some extent, for them so that it's not, like, boring. even though it's probably still very boring because it's just, this is me today sitting on my beanbag in life. I'm lucky because my, well, not lucky, but like my husband still works. So he works from home though. So like he wakes up and like starts working and his computer's like in our bedroom. So like I have to wake up and get the fuck out. So I have like, it's been good for my, my routine, I guess. that like I am not like sleeping all day or anything. I just sort of work out at home. I work out at home for a really long time. Like it doesn't mean that they're good workouts. It's just like, I just make them take really, really long time because I have nothing else to do in my life.
It's an extensive workout.
Yeah. It's like everything you could, like I do like my weights and I do a bit of cardio, go for like an hour walk. I'll come back. I'll do some DDP yoga. Like I'm just like, what can I possibly add into this to make it take longer of my life? But yeah,
I got like, tired just hearing you talk about those three things that you do in one day. Just now, yeah, sitting well, here.
It's like that's all I have. Watch a lot of Netflix.
What's one of your favorite shows to watch on Netflix? What do you recommend?
I just finished binge watching season 2 of Dead to Me, which just came out like the other day. Which Dead to Me is very good. Highly recommend. Good show. It's hard with like Netflix because like I have Australian Netflix, and sometimes if I want to watch stuff, I have to go on American Netflix. So I need to like put a VPN in and stuff, and like just like because everyone will be like, oh, I'm really enjoying this show, and I'll be like, that show's not on Netflix. What are you talking about? And then I find it. So that's, yeah. I don't know. I watch a lot of, I mean, I don't watch that much wrestling. I probably watch less wrestling now than what I was watching previously. And I think that's also because I don't have, like, I watched a lot of wrestling previously because I had this, like, obsessive need to know what everyone was doing so that, one, I could make sure what I was doing was completely different but still relevant to what the fans were interested in, if that makes sense. Doesn't make sense. It kind of makes sense. Whereas now I'm like, I don't know when I have to wrestle again. So I just kind of watch things here and there. Like I'll watch like the weekly shows or whatever, but like I'm not like spending hours watching independent wrestling like I used to.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So
that's my life.
We'll do really quick some of your favorites. Favorite city or place to wrestle in?
Chicago. I love Chicago.
Love it.
It's my favorite.
Favorite opponent that you've had through the years?
Madison Eagles. She's my trainer and my friend, and she's literally the best wrestler in the world. Like, it's just, it's not fair.
who would be your favorite or dream tag team partner?
Oh, I know you sent me these questions, but my dream tag team partner. My favorite person to tag with currently is Jessica Troy. We usually end up wrestling each other more than we end up tagging together, but I keep trying to convince her to be my tag team partner.
So if you're listening, get on it.
And Kylie Rae and me would make a great tag team. But I also just want to wrestle Kylie a lot because she's great.
So last one of the favorites. Taking brands and wrestling promotions out of it, who is your dream match against?
Charlotte Flair.
Very nice.
Best wrestler. She will go down. I'll just go on a rant. Don't worry. No, you don't want to hear it. She's just great. She's fantastic. Everyone's wrong. She's literally the best female wrestler in the history of the universe. Like, there is no one that is going to be able to go down in the record books as good as her. There is a reason that Trish put her over, because she's that freaking good. Oh my God. Okay. Sorry.
I love it. So you mentioned really quick that your husband works from home. Is it difficult being away from Australia for periods of time? Does he travel with you sometimes?
He's a wrestler too. So he understands why I have to travel lots. He very rarely travels with me. Last year, when I went to America for 3 months, he came with me, and I was like, because I was like, let's go both try and be wrestlers. And then he dislocated his elbow like 2 weeks in, and then he was just depressed and stuck in an apartment in Philadelphia where he had no friends and knew no one. And I had to just every weekend be like, bye, I'm going to go to my wrestling shows now. So he's a very, like, he's dealt with a lot being my husband. But, like, yeah, he's very supportive of everything that I want to achieve. And he's my harshest critic, but also, like, my biggest supporter, because at the end of the day, as long as I'm he is willing to support me as long as I'm putting 100% into whatever I'm doing. So if he ever sees me not putting 100% in, he'll be the first person to be like, no, what are you doing? Like, you can do better than that or whatever. But then it's nice. It's not, I make him sound like an evil dictator. He pushes me and he supports me. But, like, he supports me because he wouldn't let me just not have a job and be a degenerate if he didn't think that I could do it. Like, he obviously thinks I can do it. Otherwise, every day, instead of being like, be a better wrestler, he'd be like, go get a job. So, like, because obviously, like, there's some sort of support there. But yeah.
All right. So these are the big baby Jimmy questions. Very important that I put that down. He was very interested in this.
Okay.
These were the questions that he would have liked to ask you. So we're going to ask you. So,
okay.
All music from Australia to Big Baby Jimmy is great. Tame Impala, Empire of the Sun, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. He's made me listen to that a bunch.
Never heard him.
Thank you.
Any of those bands? Do you jam to any of those bands?
I don't jam to any of them. I know the only one of those that I know is Empire of the Sun.
Okay.
That's the only one I've ever heard.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. That's the one that I would say go listen to. Rattlesnake, and you'll probably tweet me back that why did you waste my time?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for supporting Australian artists because that's what I essentially am, but I don't really listen to that much Australian music, just like people don't really watch that much Australian wrestling. It is what it is.
What do you listen to? Yeah.
Or most of my songs at the moment, as sad as this sound, come from TikTok. So there's like Spotify, you can get like TikTok, hot TikTok songs and like a current, like, or whatever. Like, you can get like playlists of TikTok songs. And they just, I just jam to that because that's what I listen to all day, isn't it? I don't know.
I hear them all day long because my girlfriend and my kiddo are huge TikTok fans. And I have to hear these songs over and over and over again to the point where they're ingrained in my mind and I don't even have the app. So much so that my kiddo is sitting on the chair and she's taping me as I'm making fun of all the TikTok songs.
You're like, I'm a savage.
Yes.
Jesse, Boutique, Ratchet.
Yeah. She sees this part, she's gonna love it, and the whole the walking thing and the
all of it.
I can't deal with it. It's too much.
I stay away.
You're just like no.
So let's go back a little bit because we have no written way of doing this podcast. So when you were younger and you were listening to music, what were you jamming to? What were you jamming to as a kid? Because you were dancing and you were doing talent.
I was dancing, yeah. So I mean, I guess I was listening to like whatever was good on the radio. Like if we go to like what CDs I physically owned, I owned like a lot of like Blink 182 and Green Day and stuff as a teenager. That was my jam. As I got a bit out of teenagery, I was really into the Killers for a few years, and then I kind of vibed off that. But like, I think now I mainly listen to like female rap, and I don't know why that became my genre. But I'm just like, yes, Nicki Minaj and friggin' oh god, I can't even remember what's the other one's name. What's the one that Nicki Minaj hates? I was just going to say she has a big butt, but they all have big butts.
I'm not up on my female macro feuds, so I'm not sure.
Oh, my God. What's her name? Why is my brain not working?
Oh, I know, no. Beyonce.
Cardi B. There we go. I've heard that name. For some reason, that's as I get older and I become, oh, I love Taylor Swift. That's like a random thing. I love Taylor Swift from Fearless to Red. Love 1989. back on board from Reputation. We'll go from there. But the 1989, no girl.
No.
Mm-mm.
You hear that?
You went
Taylor?
Too pop.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
Get back to your roots.
But before that, yeah, exactly.
All right, so another one of Jimmy's questions is, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I know it made all of us laugh. So there are way too many deadly animals and insects in Australia. Why is everything trying to kill you in Australia? That's the question.
That is the question. They're not like everyone, like, I live in the suburbs. They're not like, I don't walk out in the street and there's like snakes running around or anything. Like, you have to live like in the country to really see most of the deadly animals or things. Like, we get spiders. We get some deadly spiders, I would say. But that's like,
oh, thank you.
The deadly spiders are usually like the littler ones. The big huntsmans, you get huntsmans everywhere. Huntsmans, they're like the big furry ones, and they'll like them. Oh, so here's this thing that huntsmans do. You'll just be driving along, right? You're just driving along, having a nice old day, and then this huntsman will just walk across your windshield, and you'll be like, where the hell did that go? And then you're just driving. So you're like, okay, well, maybe I'll pull over. But then if you pull over, like, you don't know where it's gone. Maybe it's gone back under and now it's on your side of the car. You don't know. And then you just have to go through that fear of life of how do you get out of your car?
That car would be burned if it was mine.
I mean, it's a pretty
on fire.
I'd say that happens to most people at least like once a year. Like, that's a pretty common occurrence that you'd have a huntsman on your car.
So it's like how we like run into deer a lot in the States here, where it's like, you gotta watch out for deer on the road. You're watching out for giant spiders.
Yes. Yes. We have to watch out for kangaroos if you're in the country, because they'll smash your car like the way that a deer would smash your car. But that's only if you're in like the country. But again, I live in the suburbs. I don't know, I'm not in the bush or in the country, so I'm pretty fine.
Well, that spider thing's pretty terrifying, so I appreciate that story. So what's next? So this year is kind of a situation where
she was like, wait, what do you got for me? Have you heard something?
Yeah. It's kind of like, what are we doing with 2020 now for Shaz and McKenzie? And what does 2021 hold?
So 2020 is like, our country's pretty much like, our government has pretty much said our borders will remain closed until next year. So, until there's a vaccine or whatever, until they can decide that it's safe, essentially. So not traveling overseas again this year, I would say, at least very highly unlikely. We're lucky in Australia that we've got it kind of, we don't have it under control. That's not the right word. Like, we've got it, the virus sort of contained somewhat, and our numbers are reasonably low. So we're gradually opening stuff up, which means that we might be able to get back to running shows a bit sooner than the rest of the world, which might come out. That it might, like, in a weird way, it might be like a blessing, because we might be the only people that are able to put out fresh content at an independent level, at least for a little while. So that might work out well for us in a way. But I guess, like, right now I'm just trying to not lose all hope and motivation in life. And I think, like, the best I can do is just kind of focus towards maybe 2021 and like WrestleMania week and hoping that the world is back to normal by then. But like, who knows? Like, it's, yeah, you can't, I can't make plans. Like, yeah, I guess I'm just going to try and fall back in love with wrestling. Well, I mean, not fall back in love. I love wrestling with my friends in Australia. And I guess I get to wrestle with my friends in Australia a bit more this year than previously. And that'll be nice. And hopefully build the Australian scene. And yeah, hopefully, ideally, one generation of Australian, and a generation of Australian wrestlers years from now won't have to travel overseas away from their family and friends for months at a time to make a name for themselves. And ideally, they can do it from Australia, which would be the dream. Not a very logical dream, but a dream. and so I guess we work on trying to get that happening here and building our brand here and whatever we can, and then travel back out and then finally give it one last run, one last try. And then it's like, now I can't, like, what do I, like, I can't just be like, oh, I'm done now, like it didn't work out. Like, I've got to have one try right now. Right. But who knows? I don't know. Maybe one try, maybe not. Maybe I'll just have a baby or something. I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. I'm old. I don't know. Maybe.
You're definitely not old.
No.
Who knows? I'm old for a female in professional wrestling. So we'll see where the world goes. How depressing. This is a really depressing end. I'm going to take over the world.
There you go.
Yeah.
So as we jumped back into wrestling a little bit, one of the things that we talk about a lot on the actual podcast are, you know, the state of where the women's divisions are in the different mainstream shows. And there seems to be a big disconnect between what happens in women's and female wrestling on the indie circuit compared to what a lot of people see on the mainstream shows. Why do you think some of the mainstream shows are kind of lagging behind where independents are currently? Like, you know, what's your thoughts and take on where the future of women's wrestling is going?
So when it comes to like the intergender wrestling and stuff that is obviously a lot more common on independent wrestling at the moment, I think at the end of the day, it's such a beneficial thing to have, especially for new wrestlers, because it's the difference between like when a new guy starts wrestling, he has the opportunity to wrestle these hundreds of different people. When, and if we didn't have intergender wrestling, a new girl starts and she has maybe 10 people she can wrestle. And there's only so much you can learn and grow from wrestling the same people over and over. And obviously you're wrestling with guys and whatever at training, but there's a whole other skill set that you learn by performing in front of a crowd. And that's why we're seeing these girls become so much better, so much quicker these days, because they have the ability to work with all these different opponents who have all these different experiences that can teach them, and they get these opportunities, like, and then they become so much better, so much quicker. And I think that's a fantastic thing. And I think that's such a great idea, especially on the independent level. I understand though, like when it comes to the major companies, like WWE, for example, they don't need to do intergender wrestling. They have like 60 girls on their under contract. They have a very, very deep women's division that they could very much, everyone can grow and learn and get all these experiences from working just within that division. They've built that for themselves, so they don't need to go to intergender wrestling and stuff, because I guess they have shareholders, they have all those things that they can't, like, there is always going to be a stereotype, there's always going to be a stereotypical feeling towards intergender wrestling for some people, especially on a mainstream level, where they're not going to be okay with the idea of a man and a woman fighting. And even if we disagree with it or whatever, even if the competitors disagree with it, there's going to be people you can't change their mind, and it's just not a good idea for someone with a mainstream business to do that. So the better option to make that, make sure that women's wrestling and the women in professional wrestling still continue to grow and get better and can exceed this, is to have a vast majority, a vast smorgasbord of talent and different wrestlers, different styles and different things within the women's division, so that they can grow and learn within each other. So WWE is doing a great job with that, with having their 60, I don't know if that's 60. I think it is about it's 60 if you count like NXT UK and stuff. Like, there's a lot of girls that they can do, like, train with and learn from and wrestle with. And like, they can have, like, one Raw a few weeks ago had like 5 women's matches. I mean, like, 3 of them were squashes, but like, there is talent there that they just need to invest in the time into to build them up and make us care about what they're doing. And then like Impact, for example, every week they keep announcing like new girls on their shows. That's and nice. I'm just like, yeah. Oh my God, there's all, yeah. Like these, like they're building such an amazing knockouts division, and it's like the range of talent and the years of experience and the diversity in that, like just in that women's division alone is so amazing. And I think that that's such a fantastic thing what they're doing there. AEW, for example, like I think all their women there are fantastic. They just need to give them a bit more of a bone, I guess, and invest some more time into the characters and into the wrestlers so that they can show what they're doing and what they can do. And I think that that's like not having them be intergender is fine. But I think as long as you're still investing in the women that you have and you're not just trying to meet like a status quo, because we also, there's not the idea that we need, that you need to have a women's match for the sake of having a women's match shouldn't be that's not supporting women's wrestling or whatever. We want to be on the show because we've earned our right to be on the show and we've earned our position. And I think that that gets a bit lost in everywhere because everyone's like, oh, they didn't have a women's match. They didn't have blah, blah, blah. But like, they also didn't have a private party match. Like, they're just like, it's, you know, like everyone is on a, should be on an equal playing field. And for that reason, it doesn't, like, if they've not had a women's match, that's okay. Because they also didn't have, like, there was also another 30 people that didn't get a match that week. Right. Like, it's not just those women or whatever. And so we're all like, we're all fighting for the same spot. And I think that's the difference now, is that there's not just that one spot. We're all fighting for the same spot. It's just the spot across the whole card. I think I kind of made sense. I don't know.
No, it did.
Maybe I just got canceled. Who knows?
there's so much talent in every single one of the different promotions that you can watch. That, I mean, it's got to, we talk about it. It's got to be a logistical nightmare trying to get storylines going, keep momentum for different people going, introduce new people, you know, and just keep it going week to week. And you know, it's we always like to see, you know, the women get used from week to week, have the storylines develop, you know, have intriguing stuff that, you know, not just us, but you know, everybody wants to watch. And I mean, I know Christopher is always yelling at, like, can we get the WWE tag team, women's tag team titles? Can they get some time? And hopefully
yes,
with the Iconics now back, you know, your home country brethren will, you know, kind of reinvigorate, you know, that division and everything. So
yeah. Yes, hopefully.
That was a good argument. I never actually heard somebody talk about the idea of they have such a big roster and intergender isn't necessary. So it would take away from the women's division to actually even have the intergender matches. Let's just promote them for what they are, a great, you know, roster of women that we can utilize. So that was an interesting take.
So we're getting down to the end here. We know that you have, and before we get to our final question, we know that you have some social media. So feel free to go ahead and get some of those plugs out there for your stuff. Where can people find you?
I am on Twitter and on the Instagram at Shazza_McKenzie. And I also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/ShazzaMcKenzie. And then I have like merch stuff and stuff, but you'll find those links on like all my other stuff. I don't know. I'm sure I'm annoying enough trying to sell merch every day.
No, not at all. Hey, it's with a lot of different things now. I mean, it's how people are being able to live day to day. I mean, you know, you're not able to do exactly. You're not able to do your trade right now. So we're hopefully we can get some people to get some t-shirts, get on Patreon, get on Big Cartel and all those places.
Yes, all those things.
So follow, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. And now we're down to the hard hitting question. The last question of the interview.
The question.
The most important question. Wrestling aside, it's not important. The final question.
Okay.
Oreos. Are you a single stuff or a double stuff lover?
If you could have more, why would you not want more? I just don't like. Why? If you could have double, why would you want one? Like, why would you want less if you can Shazza. Have more?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Why would you?
Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. It's been a long running debate on our podcast.
It will continue. It will continue.
We've been
Are you
asking,
keeping a tally?
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
yes we
and
are.
You just evened it up.
Yes.
You did it. You evened it up for us.
So we
can't believe single
that.
Stuff is winning.
Yes. It's a shame.
I don't understand it. We just
like
don't.
They mean like they had a single stuff Oreo here and a double stuff Oreo here, and they said you could only eat one, and someone went, yeah, that one. The one was single. Like, yes. Fuck off. Yes. No one fuck off. No. That's bullshit.
Agreed. 100% agree with that. Oh man.
Well, that's the note I want to end on. So thank you, Shazza, for joining us.
Yes,
really
thank you so much.
It.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, enjoy your day. And everybody, you get on there, you like, you subscribe, you do all that stuff for Shazza. You do it for the Bald Monkeys podcast too. You followed me, you followed Chuck. And we hope to talk to you again sometime soon. And hopefully things get all calm for you and we'll start watching some Australian wrestling. We're excited to see. Something.
Yes. Watch all the Australian wrestling.
What's the Australian promotion to
company?
Watch? Yes.
Anything.
PWA. Pro Wrestling Australia. That's where both the Iconics were trained there. That's like our hope. That's where we're from. That's our jam. That's
the jam.
That's awesome. The jam. It's our home.
Great. Thank you so much again, Shazza. We'll definitely keep in touch. And everybody, make sure go like, subscribe, do everything. Go everywhere
buttons.
On all social media. Hit the button.
Everything.
Do the
and thanks
thing.
For being everybody. With us again.